Welcome to Beta Finch, your AI-powered earnings breakdown. Today we're digging into Nike's fourth quarter fiscal 2026 results, and there's a lot to unpack. A big tariff accounting story, a CFO transition, and a business that's still very much mid-turnaround. Before we get into it, quick disclaimer. This podcast is AI-generated content for educational and entertainment purposes only. Nothing we discuss should be considered investment advice. Always do your own research and consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions.
Okay, so let's start with the number that's going to confuse a lot of people if they just skim the headline. Nike reported EPS of 72 cents for the quarter. Sounds great on its face.
Except it isn't really 72 cents of normal earnings, right?
Right, exactly. Buried in there is a one-time $986 million benefit related to recovering tariffs Nike paid under IEEPA. That's the International Emergency Economic Powers Act tariff regime. Nike determined this quarter that getting that money back became probable, so accounting rules required them to recognize it now. Strip that out, and EPS was actually 20 cents for the quarter.
Big gap. And it shows up in gross margin too. Reported gross margin was 49.2%. Up almost 900 basis points year over year. But excluding the tariff benefit, it was 40.2%, actually down slightly.
So the underlying business didn't suddenly get way more profitable. It's roughly flat to slightly down, with some noise from severance costs tied to supply chain restructuring. The tariff recovery is real cash. They've already collected over $300 million, but it's not a repeatable operating story.
Revenue-wise, the quarter was down 1% reported, down 4% currency neutral. And the geography split tells the real story. North America actually grew 3%, but Greater China dropped 17%. EMEA was down 6%, and Converse struggled too.
North America is genuinely the bright spot. Wholesale there grew 10%. And CEO Elliott Hill specifically called out that Nike's revenue and retail sales with Foot Locker were positive for the first time in 4 years. That's a meaningful signal. That relationship had been strained for a long time.
Let's talk strategy, because this is really a tale of two businesses inside Nike right now. Performance, running, training, basketball, football, is doing well. Running alone has had 5 straight quarters of double-digit growth and added about $1 billion in revenue over that stretch.
But then you've got Nike Sportswear and Jordan Streetwear, the classic lifestyle side, which together are roughly half of total revenue, and both are declining. Sportswear was down double digits in the quarter. Management basically said, don't expect that to turn positive until the back half of fiscal 2027.
Hill's framing was interesting. He called performance sport the halo that creates authenticity for the whole brand, and said the plan is to let that innovation and energy flow into sportswear rather than treating it as a separate fashion business.
The World Cup angle was a big theme, too. Nike built what they called a full football universe: content, athlete stories, product drops, and said they hit 1.5 billion views of related content in the first week of the tournament alone. The new Mercurial cleat apparently became the fastest-selling 24-hour launch in Nike Direct history.
That's a real marketing flex. But the more sobering part of the call was China. Revenue there was down 17% for the quarter, digital down 25%. Hill and CFO Matt Friend both described it as a market undergoing a comprehensive reset, cleaning up aged inventory, reducing discounting, and building more localized product. They expect near-term China trends to stay roughly where they are. No quick fix there.
One quote that stuck with me. Friend said they believe profitability will bottom before sales in China. That's a pretty direct way of saying, don't expect a revenue recovery signal first. Watch the margin trends instead.
We also can't skip the personnel news. This was CFO Matt Friend's last earnings call after almost 18 years at Nike. Elliott Hill thanked him warmly, and honestly, several analysts on the Q&A used their question time just to say goodbye and congratulate him.
A leadership transition during an active turnaround always adds a little uncertainty, though there's no indication of a strategy shift, just a changing of the guard.
On guidance, here's the key shift. Nike now expects revenue to be down low to mid single digits over the guided period, a bit softer than before, but they're pulling forward gross margin expansion, now expecting it to start in first quarter of fiscal 2027 instead of second quarter. They reiterated that earnings should be roughly flattish over that stretch, excluding the tariff benefit.
Basically, less top line, more margin discipline. They're intentionally tightening inventory buys and reducing sell-in to push toward a healthier, more full-price business rather than chasing volume.
And there's a bigger event on the horizon. Nike's Investor Day is set for November 16th and 17th, where they've said they'll lay out the next phase of the growth strategy. That's probably the next real catalyst for anyone watching this story.
If I'm summarizing the investor takeaway, North America and performance categories are working. The tariff windfall inflated this quarter's headline numbers, but isn't the real trend. China remains the biggest overhang. And sportswear / Jordan, half the business, still needs time to turn. Management keeps saying this is a multi-year rebuild, not a quick fix, and the numbers so far back that framing up.
Before we wrap, one more required note from us.
Everything discussed is AI-generated analysis for educational purposes. Past performance doesn't guarantee future results. Please do your own due diligence.
With Investor Day coming in November and a new CFO stepping in, there's going to be plenty more to watch with Nike in the next couple of quarters.
We'll be back to break it all down when it happens. Thanks for listening to Beta Finch.
See you next time.